Prologue. Emerald Sun. Long ago, long before St. Patrick came, before the coming of the Celtic tribes, before the Gaelic language was spoken, at the time of Irish gods who have not even left their names. So little can be said with certainty, yet facts can be established. In and upon the earth, evidence of their presence remains. And, as people have done since tales were told, we may imagine. In those ancient times, on a certain winter's morning, a small event occurred. This we know. It must have happened many times, year after year, we may suppose, century after century. Dawn. The midwinter sky was already a clear, pale azure. Very soon the sun would arise from the sea. Already, seen from the island's eastern coast, there was a golden shimmering along the horizon. It was the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. If, in that ancient time on the island, the year was designated by a date, the system of designation is not known. The island was actually one of a pair that lay just off the Atlantic edge of the European mainland. Once, thousands of years before, when both were locked in the great white stasis of the last ice age, they had been joined to each other by a stone causeway that ran from the northeastern corner of the smaller western island across to the upper part of its neighbour, which in turn was joined in the south by a chalky land bridge to the continental mainland. At the ending of the ice age, however, when the waters from the melting Arctic came flooding down the world, they covered over the stone causeway, then smashed through the chalk bridge, thus creating two islands in the sea. The separations were quite narrow. The drowned causeway from the western island that would one day be called Ireland to the promontory of Britain known as the Mull of Kintyre was only a dozen miles across. The gap between the white cliffs of southeast England and the European continent was just over 20. It might have been expected, therefore, that the two islands would be very similar, and in a way they were, but there were subtle differences, for when the floodwaters cut them off, they were as yet only slowly warming up from their Arctic condition. Plants and animals were still returning to them from the warmer south, and when the stony causeway was flooded, it seems that some species that had reached the southern part of the larger eastern island had not yet had time to cross to the western. So while the oak, hazel and ash were abundant on both islands, the mistletoe that grows upon British oaks had not found its way onto Irish trees. And for the same reason, singular blessing, while the British have been plagued with snakes, including the venomous adder, there were never any snakes in Ireland. The western island, upon which the sun was about to rise, was mostly covered with thick forest, interspersed with areas of bog. Here and there, handsome mountain ranges arose. The land had many rivers rich in salmon and other fish, and the greatest of these flowed out into the Atlantic in the west, after meandering through a complex series of lakes and waterways through the island's central interior. But to those who first came there, two other features of the natural landscape would in particular have been remarked upon. The first was mineral. Here and there, in clearings in the dense forest or upon the open mountainsides, outcrops of rock appeared, forced up from the bowels of the earth, which contained a magical glint of quartz. And in some of these glittering rocks there were deeper veins of gold. As a result, in the several parts of the island where these outcrops were to be found, the streams literally ran with the dust and nodules of gleaming gold. The second was universal. Whether it was the dampness of the wind sweeping in from the Atlantic, or the gentle warmth of the Gulf Stream, or the way the light fell at that latitude, or some confluence of these and other factors, there was in the island's vegetation an extraordinary emerald green found nowhere else. And perhaps it was this ancient combination of emerald green and flowing gold that gave the western island its reputation as a place where magical spirits dwelt. And what men dwelt upon the Emerald Island? Before the Celtic tribes of later times, the names of the people who had arrived there belong only to legend. The descendants of Cesar, Partalone, Neved, the Fir Bollag.